What's up, everybody, and welcome to a special emergency edition of the Troy Talk podcast. It has been a while since our last podcast. You know, life has gotten in the way. Joey is off chasing his dream of becoming a professional divot maker on the mini tours. And he's currently in Arkansas, of all places, home of the Laker legend Austin Reeves. Shout out Austin Reeves. I've been saving the world one high blood pressure and diabetes visit at a time, you know, doing the dirty work. And we're very lucky to be joined today by a special guest and friend of the program, Michael Pfaff. Expect a lot of hot takes and unhinged rants, and I expect nothing less from Mike. Today we're going to be covering a momentous day in golf, perhaps a day that will forever live in infamy. We'll be covering all aspects of the PGA and LIV merger that kind of blindsided all of us this morning. And I fully expect this conversation to go off the rails. So let's have at it, ladies and gentlemen. Mike, how are you doing? Let's start with you.
Good to be here. Just looking to raise everyone else's blood pressures as well.
Good. Well, keep me in business. How you doing, Joey?
I'm good. I'm here because Mike usually raises my blood pressure. So no matter the situation, so I'm ready to tackle this problem.
We've okay. got a doctor to diagnose too, so we're in good hands.
And just to preface this, I would say on the spectrum of LIV hatred, Mike is as far right, if you will, on that spectrum. I'm probably a little bit less right, but still pretty far right. And Joey's probably a little bit less right. So we have a little bit of, differing opinions here. So hopefully we can get some good dialogue going. Okay, so basically to kind of summarize what went on, and you guys can chime in if I'm missing anything. Everybody that I'm assuming is listening to this podcast knows about the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour. It was looking that they were going to continue fighting with each other and nothing was going to be resolved. But this morning, we found out that they are going to be doing a merger also with the European Tour, I believe, and kind of all blindsided us. I mean, now it's basically the complete opposite of what we were expecting it to be. Everybody's one big happy family, and I mean, everybody except, it seems like, all the fans and everybody of the PGA Tour is happy, apparently. So that's kind of what's been going on. Mike, do you have any kind of any other summarizing points here?
No, not a lot there. You know, there's still a lot to break down through what's going to go on in the future. Really, all we know right now is that Jay almost unilaterally decided the direction of these tours. I guess there's a few other people that were at the table with, obviously, Yasser. I don't know.
That's the new guy, right?
Yeah, he's the, not the new guy. He's the, manages about $1 trillion worth of Saudi funds. Of serious, you know, $620 billion public investment fund. You know, he's chairman of Aramco, which is the largest oil producer in the world. So there was, as far as I know, you know, some lawyers in the room, very few, you know, high level people, some advisors at the table, but no players, anyone knew anything that was going on. So really in the dark, like everyone else.
So I just to kind of ask the question, why do you think this happened? Because this, again, like I said, kind of blindsided us all. There was a very staunch stance against LIV from the PGA. And, you know, Jay Monahan, the commissioner, didn't seem like he would, you know, go this route. But just curious as to why you guys think this happened all of a sudden.
Well, I'll probably start off. So probably just the lawsuits, you know, LIV and specifically the Saudi Public Investment Fund had $5 billion set aside for lawyer fees. So they were going to out-litigate and just outlast the PGA Tour for any amount of time, because that's basically unlimited money compared to what the PGA Tour had. You know, they already drained their reserves, you know, their rainy day fund for these new elevated events. So there are reports that some players were paying $500,000 a year to help with these lawyer fees.
Really?
What was going on? Yeah. And, you know, we were at the discovery phase of these lawsuits. So PGA Tour was going to have to hand over a bunch of evidence to potentially very damning things that they were doing. So working in the background with sponsors, telling them don't do business, probably working with all the club manufacturers, Nike, Adidas, telling them, you know, hold off. We're, you know, let us just do this one thing and then, you know, we'll figure something out. So there's definitely monopolistic things happening in the PGA Tour, of course. But you know, I don't know how this merger stops any DOJ investigation.
Right.
If anything, it makes it worse.
And it's funny because, like, if you look at it from a law perspective between LIV and PGA, it sounds like the PGA was winning most of the law 100%. Battles, like, up until, like, you know, right now. And they said to themselves, like, even though we're winning everything, like you said, with that $5 billion or whatever it is, the Saudis were going to keep coming back and, like, keep filibustering or whatever you want to call it and finding mm-hmm. different ways to, like, petition or appeal. And it just would have drained the PGA dry. And I think they saw a way to stop that from happening and also to probably get more money in their pockets too.
100%. We're talking about tens of billions of dollars going into golf. And that's not a small amount. We're talking about, you know, half of, you know, the NBA franchises that, you know, they could have bought with that type of money, you know, over time. You know, the public investment fund is going to be over $100 billion soon, extremely soon. And, you know, Secretary Blinken is over in Saudi Arabia right now trying to tell the Saudis to not cut production of oil. So, you know, this is they have an extremely, extremely large monetary presence in everyone's lives.
Gotcha. I mean, now that we kind of know, like, why, and presuming why it happened, I think it seems pretty obvious. Going to Joey, what do you think this means? Is this we're not going to say it's a good thing, but where do you see the PGA going forward and how does it affect them?
Yeah, so I think Mike kind of talked more about, like, the political aspects of it and, like, the, like, cause of why, you know, the lawsuits happened and why the PGA Tour merged with LIV. I think for, like, the golf aspect for it, I don't want to say it's a good thing because I don't think it is, but I do think it, like, this was going to happen eventually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whether it was today, which no one expected, or whether it was going to be, you know, 5 years down the line. I don't know if anyone can sit here and say that having the PGA Tour and having LIV was a good thing.
Well, does anyone actually think that LIV was going to make it over 5 years? Like, that's what all their contracts were for. Like, from what we know, is, you know, 5 years.
Well, I mean, it just kind of bases that on, could they afford to keep it afloat for 5 years when they weren't making any money, right? Like, that's where it's at. And, but I mean, going off of, like you said, the $5 billion, I feel like they had pretty much unlimited pools of money, and
right,
they probably could have extended it a little more, but it's like, would they do it if they know that they weren't making any money? I mean, all this sport washing thing that's been going on, you know, with soccer, Formula One even, and golf, it's like none of it is profitable per se. It's just a way to kind of wash the money and try to, you know.
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, I wouldn't call it pure sports washing, but what I'm getting at is, like, I think this is what their end game was.
Mm.
They are in a legitimate business. They're not some startup that has no profit.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the PGA Tour, which has been around for, I don't know how many decades, but, like, this was probably their end game. And I don't think even Phil Mickelson probably knew that. I think what ended up happening is they're trying to, as I mentioned, you know, Aramco is the largest oil producer in the world. That's their main source of income. I think this is a way to diversify it, and it's solely a business move. I wouldn't totally call it sports washing either.
So do you think they were just kind of calling the bluff of the PGA, like saying, like, they're going to cave before that 5 years happens and we have enough money to survive that 5 years?
I think so. And in addition to the lawsuits, I think it was all calculated. I think, you know, even when all of the executives at Liv kind of left, all the grown-ups in the room, and just left Greg Norman there, I it's kind of interesting that, you know, they didn't know this even, or maybe they didn't. Maybe they expected the PGA to cave earlier, and this was a failure almost, you know?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, trying to look at this from like an objective standpoint, the things that jump out at me are, it sucks that all the people that stayed loyal to the PGA obviously they didn't take the money for whatever reason it was. Most of them probably because either they wanted to stay true to the PGA Tour and like the purity and all that aspect, or they didn't want to participate in, you know, the Saudi Arabia backed for whatever personal reasons they may have. That sucks for them. But also, you know, I'm trying to look at it as silver lining here. Is this going to mean more money in their pockets in the end? What do you think about that, Joey?
Yeah, I absolutely think that it will. Like, I mean, I think the players are upset now, simply to the fact that don't they technically own the PGA Tour, or like, right? It's like a member owned,
or yeah, member run organization.
Yeah, and then they had no say in this decision. So like, is it really a member run organization? Like, what's the point of them going to player meetings, or what's the point of them doing all the, you know, extracurricular activities other than just going to tee it up every Thursday? So I think that's kind of why, if I was a player, that's why I'd be mad. And then the second reason is obviously like, yeah, these guys went to Liv, who I made it clear to you too, I could like care less that they went to them. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't hold it against them. I wouldn't like, I really could care less that they went. And it just seems wrong that the people that supposedly, you know, for whatever reason, took the moral high ground do just kind of like get the short end of the stick. Like, they tried to do the right thing, and the people that told them to do the right thing, or what they thought was the right thing, went and did what they told them not to do.
Do we know if the Liv people are still getting everything that they were promised, or does this change how much they're getting paid out?
I don't think we know even the extent of the contracts. Like, I've heard that the guaranteed, or like the money that they got, like if they play well in a tournament, some of that money like goes. It's not like they get an extra $4 million for winning.
It's not like a guaranteed upfront, like $200 million or whatever, right? Like, they get it kind of paid based off their
increments. I don't think they've come out with like the actual how it works, but
nor will they ever, probably.
Yeah, but back, they would never.
But back to Mike's point, I guess we can call the what was the fund that you mentioned?
Saudi Public Investment Fund. Yeah,
yeah. PIF, for sure. So we'll call that like the main organization that runs Liv, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that fair enough? Oh, it's exactly it. That's okay. What's funding it.
So you said that they did this as a business. You think they did this as like a business proposal?
Yeah. Yeah. Initially, I thought, okay, you know, Golf Saudi, bring people to Saudi Arabia to play golf. But, you know, it's a.
But there's just like no way. I mean, how much money can the PGA Tour make?
They don't as a 501c. So as a. But. They're making a new commercial.
It's for business, profit now, right?
For profit. There is a overarching business that's going to be for all the commercial dealings is going to be for profit. Correct. And that's going to be majority owned by PGA Tour. I don't know what that means because they're a nonprofit. So how are they going to run it? But, you know, that Jay Monahan's going to be the CEO of. So all in all, he's going to have probably 51 in the public investment fund, 49 or something. He mentioned that the PGA Tour is going to maintain a ruling share.
It just seems so crazy to me that the PIF would really care that making this a business decision. I can understand Troy's point of the sports washing, and they've done this in sports for the last, 10 years?
Yeah.
This is not an uncommon thing.
Well, sports are huge amounts of money. I mean, it's a nonprofit for sure, but, you know, probably a billion plus flows through there. Flows through all those organizations.
But I mean, if they're willing to spend $5 billion on just lawyers to win this case, like what's an extra $1 billion that comes in because of this business decision? Like that one did that.
Well, that's why I think
we're talking
less
about year over year. Like this is a long term play. You know, sports. You know, they were trying to sell all these four aces for, you know, couple billion dollars. That's I don't know, I guess the Warriors are worth what, like $8 billion, something in that realm. It's a lot of money that, you know, we're talking about a tenth of what the, or sorry, a hundredth of what the public investment fund is worth. So it's just diversifying all these entities that they have.
Yeah, I think it can be both, right? Like, I think it can be the sports washing and 100%. Why not make some money at the same time? I don't think LIV in itself was profitable, and I think they probably understood that. Like you said, Mike kind of trying to back them into a corner, and it worked. And then now, I mean, I think they make money off of this, and they end up sports washing and kind of doing the advertising, come to Saudi Arabia, all that stuff too. So I think it was a win-win for LIV, and the PGA kind of just bent the knee and succumbed to it. Do you guys think that this is kind of conspiracy theorist, but like Jay Monahan's getting more money from
this?
He's
100% going to be a billionaire.
Okay. That's a little sketchy in my opinion.
I think they have something on him.
I don't think they have something on him. I think they just offered him a number that he couldn't refuse.
Like, that is so scummy.
He's going to be a billionaire.
But can't technically like the players fire him? Like,
as you know, commissioner of the PGA Tour, yeah, he was making, I don't know, probably $10 million a year, which is ridiculous in its own right. You know, he appeared on TV like 3 times the entire year.
There has to be a way to, like Joey said, like have like a meeting or something and call for like a mutiny or something.
I believe there would be. Like, I don't know how he's going to run the commercial side and be a CEO when he also runs a nonprofit. I guess it makes sense, but like they're too close together. Like, you know, there's rich people that have their own nonprofit or charity, and then they run something ancillary or, you know, their main business, whatever. This seems way too close to be ethical or even allowable, but you know, I don't know what's legal or not. Maybe we should have our lawyer chime in at one point.
I think the big, what I could see as a problem is there's no PGA Tour without FedEx. There's no PGA Tour without, you know, like John Deere and, you know, all these sponsors.
Oh.
You know, they're the ones that make that. They're the reason that.
Yeah, all those donations make, basically.
Who did win this week?
Hovland.
Victor. That's the reason Victor Hovland just got a check for like $3.6 million.
Right.
Yeah.
So companies just like start like, nah, we're going to put our money somewhere else where there's not as much scrutiny, you know, like, I mean, so you don't think so, Mike?
No. I mean, everyone's already doing business, you know, at least we can say, no, it's an American-run company. Jay Monahan has 51% stake in it. You know, I just don't see any issues with it.
But do you think because it's so public? Like, I imagine most of these big companies all are involved with the PIF. Like, I think the FedEx, the biggest sponsor, is like
F1, one of the biggest sponsors is Aramco.
Yep.
I mean, they're, and, you know, all the drivers speak out against Saudi Arabia every time they have to race there every year. But guess what? They still race there every year.
Yeah.
And the money's going to talk at the end of the day. And I think that goes back again to the sports watching. People are going to forget about it. They're going to keep playing golf. They're going to keep watching golf. And and nobody's going to care about like what's going on in Saudi Arabia. It's just like, it's not, nothing that we're going to say is going to change anything about this.
Yeah. And I think there's been enough like sports washing, I guess, already, where people are already saying like, hey, you can't have that opinion about sports washing because we already do X.
Yep.
And that's already being like thrown around as a valuable point. Like, oh, they can't do anything anymore.
Yeah, there's always a counter argument to like literally like anything. Oh, you wear a Nike shoe, you're committing to sports washing. Like, it's just, but I think the point is like knowingly doing it and doing it for a specific monetary gain, like the people did for LIV, you know, like Phil taking all the money. That's where we, I think, had the problem. Like, nobody can expect someone to go out like through their whole day without doing something that probably isn't somehow connected to something that's morally corrupt. I mean, all the businesses in the United States are morally corrupt in some way or another. It's just like, I feel like we're getting to semantics at that point, but you're right. People are going to use that argument to keep with LIV. And I think we're just going to become desensitized to it at some point where it's just like, I don't care anymore. It's just not worth my time. And it's just, life's going to kind of go on.
Yeah. I mean, LIV is not going to, it's not going to keep operating anyway. So, you know, LIV is gone.
It served its purpose.
Yeah, it's done. Everyone's going to come back to the PGA Tour, or DP World Tour, whatever they're, you know, paid the fine to come back, and they come back, whatever that is. But there's, you know, maybe going to be some sort of, like the women's series, some Aramco series that goes on. That they are given a ridiculous amount of money to go and play in Saudi Arabia under Saudi Golf. That's just going to be LIV going forward.
That's not unheard of. I mean, Tiger, like the women, Tiger the women. Did that his whole career.
Yeah.
He'd go overseas.
It sucks that these people that, I mean, with the moral high ground thing, it's like they specifically did not want to be part of that. Now they're just like, without a choice, being just a part of it. That kind of seems ethically messed up.
Yeah, they were given no option. I don't know how Jay can say, you know, we're going to let these people back in, and he hasn't gone through a player meeting yet. He's basically already said we're going to let them all back in. They're going to pay a fine or whatever. But yeah, they're coming back. LIV is done.
I don't
understand how that can happen. But he has somehow done it. This is not a player-run organization. It, as Joey said, all the players are LIV. I think it's at 90-10 out of the player meeting today.
I think over time, like, the players will kind of get over the fact that these players went to LIV and they were, like, brought back. I don't really think that they – I mean, I don't know if they care all that much about that aspect. I think it's more like, hey, you told us to, you know, be, I'm going to use better person is a lack of a better term, to be the better person and to stay with the PGA Tour. And then you go behind our backs and do it. Like, how is this organization, like, are we just going to make this organization a, you know, you're the boss, you make all the decisions, and I'm just here to collect a check? Like, is it just going to be a normal job?
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, the anger comes from. You know, it's a dictatorship almost that Jay's running so far. It's crazy.
So as far as like the, let's switch gears to like golf itself. Is this a good thing for golf?
Yes, there's more money. There's more money.
But like, what about quality of golf? Like, are you gonna? You think the quality of golf and all is gonna improve?
I think it's going to be the exact same. It's going to be the exact same product. There's just going to be larger purses backed by the public investment fund, and there's going to be more commercial operations in the background making the money. It's just going to be a huge cash cow.
I think they're probably eventually going to go to contracts for, like, bigger players.
That seems a little difficult still because, you know. So,
like NIL, is that, like, kind of a thing, kind of like that?
I kind of think it's going to be like kind of what the PGA Tour does now, like, hey, you got to play in 13 events, just that and like, hey, to play in, you're signing to play in these many events. You know, Rory, here's 20 million. All we're asking you to do is show up. And then what he makes, he gets. Like, I think it's just going to be more.
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying. That's going to be think the it's commercial gonna, side of the. Yeah, that's going to be the commercial business that's going to be run, you know, by CEO Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's definitely going to happen.
And then he's going to be able to sell, like, hey, Rory, DJ, Brooks have committed to the John Deere. Like, would you like to sponsor this event? Like, we have them already signed up to play. Like, there's no more, like, oh, I wonder if this guy's going to play this event or this guy's going to play this event. Like,
yeah, and I think they kind of already had that function with the designated events. That's why I'm
saying I think it's
really not going to change much. The product's going to be the same. We're just going to have some of our more polarizing figures back.
Which I think's good. I mean, I don't think like Bryce and Patrick Reed and all them coming back and playing, I think that just makes everything more interesting and gives you something to root against if that's your the way you want to take it.
I think you guys know and like you know what a heel is, like in WWE and UFC?
Not at all.
Okay, so a heel is like the bad guy.
Okay.
There has to be a bad guy. There has to be a Conor McGregor. There has to be a, I don't know, couldn't name a WWE fighter if I tried. But there, and I think the PGA Tour was kind of lacking that the last, like when I'd watch the broadcast, it'd be like Victor Hovland, Colin, Rory,
Scottie Scheffler, guys.
Like, who am I even rooting for?
Yeah.
You know, like the PGA was kind of fun because rooting for Brooks was like this, like looked down upon, you know? So I think it's going to be good for golf watching wise because it's going to create some form of like, oh, I'm going to root for this guy.
And also at the end of the spectrum, I mean, hate watching is totally a thing. And I love hate watching. So it's going to bring people in that way too.
Yeah, Patrick Reed gets in the, you know, final group. Like,
I prey on so many people's downfalls.
Yeah. Like that's going to be way more entertaining than watching Scottie Scheffler hit it to 15 feet on every hole. Like,
oh, speaking of which, just a little bit of an aside. Did you hear the stat about Scottie Scheffler, his strokes gained this last past week?
Yep.
So yeah. So he was number one in every category, literally every category except putting, strokes gained. But he was dead last in putting. So if he would have just had, I think, who was it, Denny McCarthy was the guy finishing second. If he would have had his putting week, he would have won the tournament by 18 strokes. That's how bad he is at putting.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, that stat can be a little misleading because, like, if you miss greens, you chip it closer than hitting at you. But, yeah, it's – I think he almost hits it so good that, like, he just loses confidence putting. Because you hit it to, you know, from 10 – I mean, an 8-footer's 50-50. You know, how many times do you, like, man, I should make every 8-footer?
Right.
It's 50-50 if you make an 8-footer.
And the more 8-footers you have, the more you're going to miss. Like, that's just statistically the way it is. So then you're going to get in your head that you're missing a lot of 8-footers.
And so once you get, you know, you have a bunch of 10 to 25-footers, which any golfer in the world is like, oh, I hit a fairly decent shot if you hit it in that range.
And if it goes in, it goes in kind of thing.
You're going to make what? Maybe 25% of those? Not even. Probably 10% of those. So I think he hit it so good that he lost confidence in his putting. Because he had no 6-footers.
Yeah. Maybe he needs to go to the double putter thing, but that's a topic for another podcast.
Just change groups.
But, I mean, I think we covered most of it. Mike, did you have anything? I know you did your copious amounts of research. Anything you want to bring up that can kind of spur some discussion?
I mean, who is actually running the PGA Tour? Like, I've read about... Obviously, there's Jay. There's Jimmy Dunn, who was brought in last year as an independent policy director. No idea who that guy is.
Doesn't sound shady at all.
No, independent. That's you know.
No conflict of interest there.
Brought in by Jay sounds independent enough.
Yeah.
How much is the PGA and DP World Tour worth now? If we start putting a number to it, we'll talk about franchises. How much is that? They've got basically Yasir saying that he'll back the PGA Tour any amount. So basically, they're $100+ billion entity now. Is that? It's got to be one of the more lucrative or the more valuable sports in the world now. Right?
And I think that brings up a really, really good point. What are they going to do with that money? Are they just going to use that money to pay the players, or are they going to actually use it to make the tour a better product in itself regarding, you know, TV viewing, behind-the-scenes things? Are they going to – I mean, this could – I'll bring it up to Joey here. How is this going to change developmental tours like KFT and other things like that?
Yeah, I think that's the – that's going to be the big winner of this whole thing, which – or which I hope is the big winner, I guess is a better –
No selfish interest.
No, this is a totally biased or unbiased opinion. But so I think the DP Tour, this is a really good thing for them.
Yeah.
And I hope that, like, there's, I mean, as you see on Korn Ferry Tour, there's so many good stories. Mm-hmm. Like just a couple weeks ago with Rico, like you can go talk to Rico for an hour and he'll go tell you how he like applied to go work at a driving range a year ago.
Jeez.
And now he's basically secured his PGA Tour card. And I mean, I'm in Arkansas on an all pro tour event. You go down the range and pretty much get endless golf stories or like where I came from, or, you know, I stayed in a hotel with seven guys and just trying to make it happen. So I think this is, I mean, for personally, for me, this is more fuel to like try to get out there. And I hope it kind of, they keep it the same. They keep it like where there's Q school and it doesn't turn into the.
Well, I'm just hoping that you don't need to pay, you know, $1,200 to play Q school.
Like, yeah. I mean,
that's just ridiculous, you know, and then get driving range golf balls from that have been beat up for a year and a half. Like there's got to be more money for that.
Well, there is more money for that, but do you think that's what they're going to spend the money for? Like, because it's not making them any more money to do these things for the mini tour to make it a, you know, these people's lives easier. It's like minor league baseball. Like they have all that money to pay these guys, and they just, like consistently choose not to at every possible like you know standpoint. You know, so like,
I think that's
will they
the thing. There, I don't think. I think to an extent it will be larger than what they've done, but you know. It's got to make them money in the end, so it's going to go to the commercial side more so than not.
Before they make it more or like more profitable or like cheaper for as a player or more profitable for them, I think they have to get more into the side of like telling stories, like Monday Q Info.
Yeah.
Like he's a Twitter account that writes an article, what, once a week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like it's nothing. He doesn't do anything crazy out of the wild. He just reports stories, makes funny tweets, and tells stories that everyone wants to hear or that golf fans want to hear.
Right.
So I think they have to get more into that like aspect of mini tours before they can like.
And I agree with that. That's a really good point, because even if you're not a huge golf fan, if you see that pop up on the news or whatever and you see a feel-good story, like everybody loves a feel-good story. So even if you aren't a golf fan, you're going to be like tuning in, hey, maybe this guy can win. It could change his life. So I think that's a really good point. And this is just another thing they can use to distract from, you know, the whole Saudi Arabia thing anyways. Now they're, you know, funding people's dreams and this is like looked at as a positive thing, which, I mean, if we're going to find some positive, I want to find a positive. It can't all be bad, but like – It's just a way to distract, and it's a productive thing out of that. But as long as it's productive, that's all I can really ask.
Well, I guess the thing that pops into my mind is, you know, they can tap into all those mini tours and start potentially televising it, even, you know, if it's a skeleton crew and they just
The Good showed it's possible.
Yeah, upload it to YouTube or do live YouTube broadcasts. You know, that seems totally possible in another broadcasting ability. You know, there's not golf 7 days a week, but there could be
easily. I mean, it's not, I mean, they already kind of have, you know, the YouTube from LIV, you know, that's a newer generation. That's a newer,
they could totally leverage all those, you know, technology that they've already invested in, just bring it over. I, you know, maybe start showing more Korn Ferry Tour even.
Yeah, I think that's where it has to start. It has to start Corn Ferry. It has to start in feel good stories. It has to start in, you know, local kids getting in. It has to start in, you know, I'm having a
12 Michael Blocks. Year
old. Exactly. Don't get me started, Mike.
But like, it is like, that's a perfect scenario where like, this guy's having the week of his life.
Yeah.
Like, forget all the other stuff that went on with that. Just that week of that PGA. There's a Michael Block story.
Maybe not Michael Block in all of us.
Every week.
Yeah, maybe not to that big of an extent as it's a major championship, but there's a Michael Block story every Corn Ferry week of the year.
And someone the more opportunity, the more opportunity you give these people, you're going to start finding them, and it's going to be like the Michael Block's not going to happen once every 10 years. It's going to be happening five, six times a year.
Yeah. Someone's out on the Corn Ferry.
I won't battling. Take this Michael Block equivalencies. He is probably one of the greatest golfers of all time.
His pip, Mike, is going to be insane. He might make top 10 in the pip.
You know, we're saying...
I didn't even think about Jay, it. Don't you have to be a member?
Jay, I don't think, is fit to be CEO. Maybe not. I think we just throw in Michael Block because he can do just about anything.
That is just unreal. That is unreal.
They better treat him right.
Yeah, like I said. So does this have any effect on the LPGA at all? Are there separate entities with PGA and LPGA?
I hope it does.
Yeah, I think the commercial side of it that Jay's going to run is going to hopefully heavily invest in LPGA.
Because I think like it's similar to the KFT. That's honestly untapped. I think there's not enough publicity with that, because that is and like the watching it on the Golf Channel, like you see like the last eight holes of every round. You barely even get to see it. Mm-hmm. So like, how can you expect people to like want to watch it if they only see 6 to 7 holes a day, and then only the top people, they don't get to really see anybody else? Like, mm-hmm. I think that's where they struggle with gaining viewers. And I mean, I know it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, LPGA. I'm probably a bigger LPGA fan than most people, but I think there really
probably
is.
Will be soon too. You know,
there's untapped potential there, and I'm hoping that they benefit from this.
Yeah, I got one more.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, go ahead if you have something.
We get started, shout out to Rosang. That was incredible, mm-hmm. awesome story, and I think that just further proves my point.
Yeah,
yeah. I think they need to like do a lot more. They're kind of testing it at the end of this year, like with the joint event.
Oh yeah,
like
I'd eat that up.
I don't understand, or like, here's my big thing: the President's Ooh. Cup. No one really cares about the President's Cup.
No.
Secretly, like we watch it. Like I don't understand why there isn't, whatever, 6 guys, 6 girls.
Yeah.
On the President's Cup team.
Well, like, that's what they should do. They should have Solheim. They should have Ryder, and then just have the mixed President's Cup.
Yeah. Like I don't understand why that's taken, or why it hasn't even happened yet.
Seems so easy, and both of the PGA people and the LPGA people are down for it too. So like, the only thing that I could think is possibly stopping them is they don't think it's going to make money, and obviously that the money makes the world go round, and that's going to ultimately tell them what they're going to do.
Well, somehow the President's Cup makes money because it happens every year, so I don't see why this wouldn't.
I don't know if it does
make money.
Yeah, I mean maybe viewership probably like okay, well. That doesn't make an organization money, all of their money for sure. But
are you calling it the Costco hot dog, Mike? Is that what you're saying?
It's part of the game and it's tradition, and it's again mostly based off of probably some or definitely donations. Mm. But then again, you know, they probably get pretty close to breaking even with, you know. The TV rights deal, that of course is a big one. That's probably the biggest if we're talking about what actually makes sports money is the TV rights. Mm-hmm.
Wait, how does this affect Ryder Cups back to normal, right? With all this?
Should. Well, they have, I think the European Tour has to be, they have to be a member of the DP World Tour. So they were currently all kicked off the DP World Tour and uh-huh. forced to pay a fine by the European Union ruling. So I don't think anything's changing with the European team side. Like, that's always been you. And
so all they have to do is pay the fine and they can do it? Is that what you're saying?
No. They've been kicked out. But I, you know, there's going to be a pathway back. It just hasn't been determined. I don't think that they're going to form that path back in time for the Ryder Cup.
Really? Because I feel like they're losing a big chunk of
Talent. Who are they missing?
That's just true. It's more the American side, right? DJ, yeah, Brooks.
But they're all allowed to be, if you read, because they're all part of the PGA Association, not the tour, because that's the only thing that actually matters. So they're part of the PGA Association still, and not tour. So they were always still on the table, and currently Brooks is second or third on the list. So, you know, he was an auto qualifier.
Oh, well, Mike, I want to see Sergio Garcia. I need some hate watching. So I hope that
he's playing the US Open.
Yeah.
Yeah. He made it. He made the qualifiers, which, you know, I would have thought would have been too far below him.
Yeah, it just goes to show you that. What, he dropped like 66, 66 or something, like something crazy like that. Just dominated.
When they care, they care. It's... They can play, but who are you all most excited to see back? I guess that's where I kind of want to end it too.
I mean, I guess to an extent Brooks, because I think him at the top level is something we haven't seen. So we haven't seen someone dominate majors when he's healthy like he does, and I think that's super fun to watch.
But that's all he's going to do. He's just going to dominate majors. He's
which
not
is, I mean, all I care about, right? Like, I don't care watching Brooks win the 3M Open. I just want to watch him go play the Masters and see if he can get that Grand Slam. I think, you know, Bryson and P. Reed are going to be, you know, fun to hate watch. Who else is coming back?
Phil.
Oh God, that's another one I'd love to hate watch.
Is Matt? That's the worst Matt part of this whole back? Thing. Is Matt Wolf coming back? Mito Pereira.
I mean, I'm sure all those young guys will, but like, I don't understand how status works now.
Well, they got to pay a fine, and they're going to come back, but you know,
but does
they
that
probably,
kick people off of the PGA?
Yeah, like.
No, probably not. It's probably going to be like COVID.
Is like Phil going to be in Q school?
No shot.
No.
Like, but you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, he's getting special exemptions to any.
But there's only so many special exemptions you can give. It's going to eventually, like,
I guess
well,
you're
then he has, and
then,
he has, like, though.
Mito Pereira
like,
would win Q school by 20 strokes.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't think that's going to happen. If they had membership, they'll be back, and there's probably going to be an expansion of members. The first few years that they come back and pay their fine, or if they want to pay their fine. I mean, there's already more than whatever amount that's actually playing on the tour.
That KFT quali in a year is going to be absolutely brutal.
It's going to be stacked,
And I, to second your point, Troy, I really don't think he would.
What?
Like, you say they had to go to Q school?
Uh-huh.
Three-fourths of them wouldn't get their card. I mean, Q school is, yes, they're world-class players. Like, they've been on the PGA Tour. You get
but
an
everyone,
off week.
Yeah, everyone.
You get an
you
off
get
week.
Hot.
There's 200 guys that are just as talented as you that
I mean,
could beat you.
Yeah,
that
no,
week.
I get that to a certain extent. But, like, if you're a top 50 player, I got to think your odds of making it in Q school is still pretty dang high.
Yeah, I mean, look at the US Open. Most of
exactly.
the players were at the final stage and missed off by a couple strokes if they did even miss out. Mark Leishman, etc., you know.
And they aren't even sharp. Like if they aren't even PGA ready right now.
Yeah, Leishes, yeah.
Like, they're playing awful comparatively, and they just come in. And like Sergio, perfect example. Just, like, he's not playing well right now, and he just won his. I mean, I get your point though. Like, it's at a certain point you can have one bad week and anybody can win Q school. I mean, there's some really bad people that fail Q school, or really good people that don't qualify in Q school every year. So
yeah, and I mean, with the current like performance based, you know, exceptions for the PGA Tour, like, I think if you get second in a major, you get to be in the, or if you win a tournament, you get to be in the designated events the next year. So like, Mito came in what, second? Like, he's locked in for a few of those, few of the majors already. I don't know. Just be weird to see him not on the PGA Tour yet. You know, has exemptions into the majors. outside of Michael Block, but yeah.
That is another podcast, Mike.
We're going to see him back next year, thank goodness.
Yeah, that DFL in the whatever tournament it was, that was some Schadenfreude for sure.
Yep. 100%.
Did you have any other topics, Mike, that you wanted
to? You know, I was wanting to mention this before, you know, Sergio, this tour sucks. Welcome back. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoy the ball rollback. USGA is all on board with everyone coming back. They're happy about the merger, RNA and Augusta as well. Got to wonder if they were feeling any pain financially or were afraid of any monopoly concerns coming through. But, you know, that won't happen anymore. Maybe.
It's going to be smooth sailing, Mike. Everything's fine.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Do you wake up in the morning angry, Mike?
Just, you know, I like to see the world without rose-tinted glasses. Oh, okay,
personally. So let me ask you this, Mike. What gets you more frustrated, Liv or the Lakers losing?
Lakers. You know this. You okay, know this. Right. Well, my hate tweet DMs for about, you know, 45 minutes to a day and a half after.
Well, we'll see if we can get Darvin Ham on the podcast in the future. Get some productive discussion going on there. Oh, God. All right, Mike. Take it easy. Take it easy. Anything from you, Joey, that you wanted to talk about?
No, I think overall, I as I said before, I think this was bound to happen eventually. My big problem is he went behind the players' backs. Mm-hmm. So I think the structure of, like, being a member of the PGA Tour could get a little foggy here pretty soon. And I don't think this merger is going to be smooth for the next 2 years, probably. Maybe you could even argue 5 years.
Heads are going to roll. I don't know who yet, but.
So, and you may get some guys that, like, the Dustin Johnsons of the world that hang up their clubs.
Yeah.
They're just like, I'm not dealing with this.
Cam Smith after a few years. Yeah.
Cam Smith, Brooks, like, I really don't think Brooks, like, cares all that much about getting a Grand Slam. I mean, I think he's going to make his $200 million and go live in his Florida house for the rest of his life, happy as ever. So I think they're going to lose some players and just be like, I'm not going to deal with this anymore.
Can we just pour one out for Rory being the martyr of this whole situation? Yeah. It's an absolutely tough scene for the kid. He's got to be going through it right now. And just like, you know that Ben Affleck meme where he's just like, looks like really tired smoking the cigarette? That's Rory right now. Yeah. He's just exhausted. And I think he needs a month or two off after the majors just to reset, because that guy is going through it.
Yeah, if he doesn't have Zins right now, he's going to start him.
That would be a scene. That would be a scene.
Just Rory start packing lips on the first tee.
Oh, 100%.
Rory's going to be on Bob Does Sports videos pretty soon. Just eating Taco Bell every hole and throwing up. He doesn't care anymore.
I'd pay good money to see that.
Oh, I would too. I would too. Okay, so just to end it, just to something more fun. U.S. Open is in 2 weeks in our, I guess, hometown by association, L.A., I'm really looking forward to it. I watched the No Laying Up video of the course because I wasn't super familiar with it. I played it a long time ago, but it's changed a lot. That course looks awesome.
It's so sick.
It's brutal.
I wish I
played
it. It
looks brutal, and I love it.
Yeah, I definitely should have taken up an offer to play it this last November. Now I'm just jealous. It's probably not going to be in that shape for a while.
So going off of that, who do you think – I mean, it's a ball striking course, right?
Max Homa. And then I'm going to cry.
I mean, that's the popular pick for sure. Just being hometown, he played. I guess he has course record there, right? Something like that?
Yes, he does. Yeah, he does.
So that's a sneaky good pick. I think Morikawa is probably a good pick too. He also knows the course pretty well. Anybody else that you can think of, Joey?
I think JT's going to win.
Oh, you say that every week and then he misses the cut or barely makes the cut or...
Yeah, he just can't. I mean, it's not that he can't putt; is he can't putt as well as he used to.
I don't know if LACC you have to putt good.
Yeah.
I think the golf course is like 9,000 yards long, and that's barely no, an exaggeration.
Isn't. No, it is not. It's like not 70. One of...
Yeah, it is.
Jamie, can you pull up the yardage?
You know, I think they are pulling back the first hole to behind the putting green even. So
Mike, the golf course is like 7,800 yards.
It's a 280-yard par 3, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they've got a couple of those, but then there's a couple like 340-yard par 4s that definitely aren't drivable with the way that they're setting it up.
Sure, but those are just as hard as the 480-yard par 4s, though. With
oh,
the
I agree. I agree. I'm just not saying it's, you know, I'm not saying it's 7,800 yards. Okay, 7,500 yards. Sure.
It's a par 70. It's 75, Mike.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's basically 70. It might as well be 8,000.
So the 290-yard par 3, I will say this, it is severely downhill, so it's going to play about 250, so 7 would.
You could chip driver instead.
I was about to say, honestly, Mike, I think they'd rather hit a full swing driver than chipping a driver. So it'd be better if it wasn't downhill.
They all have 7 woods in the back. They'll make it there fine.
Yeah, Max Homa does have a nice little 7 wood that he hits. I will say that.
Sick.
I don't even have a 4-iron in my bag anymore.
It's very, very old school to have a 4-iron.
Yeah.
I think a couple others. I think obviously Scheffler and Rahm. I mean, Rahm's not playing too well right now, but you can never count him out. Scotty, I mean, all he has to do is putt semi-decent, and he will be top 5 guaranteed almost.
If he putts average compared to the field, he's winning.
Yeah, 100%. And I think he has a pretty good mentality as good as you can ask for. Like, he just kind of goes out there and plays, which is – he's not really going to get in his head, I don't think, too much. He's just – happens with to the suck putter. At putting. I mean, I don't even know if he's in his head. He might just suck at putting.
I think he's in denial. He needs to go putters. Arm lock. He needs to go mallet something.
He could putt left-handed, and it would probably be the same. Like, up to that point, like, he could try something completely new this week. Go claw, go whatever, and he would probably either. I don't think he would putt much worse, if at all, than how he's been putting.
I think he would putt better, but yeah.
Exactly. So then he probably wins if he can figure something out.
I don't think he will, though. I think he's a little stubborn, and he's not saying that there's an issue. He honestly.
It's hard to argue with someone who I don't even know how much money he's made and how many top fives he's had this like last 2 years. But I
15,
agree.
Yeah,
it's
probably
disgusting.
You know what I bet you is crazy is you probably go out there and he just rolls the rock so well.
Yeah.
Every day of the week, and it's just like, the ball's just not going in. We like to see.
Reports are, you know, he's doing the Brad Faxon drill putting with his 60
oh, the wedge,
degree
right?
Yeah.
So, well, maybe he does realize there's a problem, Mike.
Maybe.
Let's see, who else? I was thinking maybe a little Sahith Theegala this week, being kind of a hometown for him. And he's, I mean, he's always there. Could be sneaky good on that.
He's always there until you need him.
Yeah, but, you know, he could just be in the, maybe like backdoor a PGA winner like JT did, you know, where he's like 6 strokes back, just shoot really good on the final day and get lucky. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of anybody else. What do you think about Brooks this week? Doesn't really seem like his course.
He might still be hungover from PGA, to be completely honest.
Hey, if his Panthers lose, he could be in shambles.
Yeah, you know.
Which they are. They get absolutely rolled by my, not
yes,
mine, but
7-2 last night was.
It was bad.
Tough to watch.
Absolutely bad. Now I'm not going to hear the end of it of all these Vegas people. It's just the worst.
I just want to know what he was, you know, on when he was at the Panthers game.
Whatever it is, Mike, you can't afford it. All right, so
you know what it was, Mike.
I'll have what he's having.
Well, you know, with the new PIF and the, you know, all that stuff, you might be able to afford a little bit more of that. We'll see. We'll see. Not, I don't want to start any rumors.
Maybe they'll fund the podcast.
Yeah. Hey, I will. I'm not above anything. I will sell out. you know, being a doctor is good and all, but if someone wants to pay me $50 million to go start my podcast, I'll be open to the discussion. I'll do doctoring part time.
I don't think that's how that works. But
you can definitely do it part time. It's just
limited amount of patients.
I just have to take my test every 10 years. We'll be okay. Just to make sure I know what I'm doing. But yeah, that would be sick. If you're out there, Piff, whatever the guy's name is, I'm your guy. I won't stand up to you like No Laying Up probably will. I cannot wait to listen to that podcast. They're gonna absolutely lose their mind.
I will say whatever you want me to.
But yeah, you know, not condoning any of the Saudi Arabian things, but definitely money talks, as we can see. Any closing remarks you wanna throw out there, Mike?
You guys are a bunch of bad hombres. I don't know.
If any of you guys are interested, you can follow me on Instagram. I will be documenting my match with Mike. I think it's in a little over a week. Mm. Las Posas Country Club. It some say it's basically the PGA versus LIV, just in a smaller scale, if you will. Me being the PGA, of course, the good guy that everybody wants to root for, and Mike being LIV.
So yeah, somehow that happened, but some call Las Posas the LACC of Camarillo.
I mean, yeah, I don't think anybody could argue with that.
You got Cam Springs and what's the other golf course right there?
Sterling.
You got Cam Springs. I don't know. Sterling's kind of made compete.
I do like Sterling. I do like Sterling.
Sterling's layup is better, I'll say that, but you know.
So we got the line going, I think. What do we decide? Minus three or minus four?
I think we did 3.5.
Okay, 3.5?
Yeah.
Okay, so minus 3.5. Since Mike knows the course, I played there maybe like 3 times in my life. I couldn't
wait,
tell you.
I'm favorited?
No. I'm minus 3.5. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen. If Mike keeps the ball in play, he's going to win.
Okay.
It's this match really has nothing to do with how you play, Troy.
Okay. Mike,
absolutely nothing to do.
It really has. You're gonna go out there. You're gonna shoot between 78 and 82.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no question about it.
It's just whether Mike shoots 78 or Mike shoots 88.
Exactly. This is the classic Mike versus the golf course kind of match.
It's the Icarito, if you will, Mike. Will he fly into the sun too close and just burn?
You know, this course might be my greatest enemy.
Really? That's ironic.
Yeah.
Mike's home course is his greatest enemy. Let me get that on record.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love a challenge. Love to hate myself. You know, it's all good.
Mike is a masochist and sadist. And mm-hmm. But anyways, if you guys, I will be documenting it as my vacation is coming up, and I am going to be playing as much golf as I possibly can. Because as much as I love my job and seeing cute little babies as I am right now on newborn every day, golf is a little bit more appealing at this moment in time.
Did we do it?
Did we do what?
Did we do a podcast?
Well, Mike, we are supposed to thank the audience for listening before we end the podcast.
Well, I just want to know if we did it first before I thank them.
That will be the end of the podcast. I will go ahead and thank everybody. Mike, you can as well. I'll let you have a little bit at the end. Thanks for listening. We're almost to an hour. That's like a perfect amount of time. If for whatever reason we need something to talk about in the future, I'm sure we can get the boys on for a little bit of talk. But for now, I think this was good. It was good to be back. Always a pleasure. You know, just having a little bit of water cooler talk. It's a good you know, refreshing cool down for me after a hard day work. All right, Mike, go for it. You can say your sign off.
Thank you to all of my viewers and fans. You cannot follow me on social media.
Okay, and thank you. And Mike also wants to thank the PIF for not funding this podcast, but just for existing.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, because we all know that. You know,
they understand I have a moral high ground to them. Yeah.
All right. And I want to wish best of luck to Joey. He has a tournament tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Living the dream in Arkansas right now, as we all wish we could be doing.
Yeah, everything's going to be okay. I think the tour will be fine. Golf will be fine. Mm-hmm. It'll be a rocky, you know, couple years. But at the end of the day, I think people are interested and people will watch. So.
You heard it here first. It is not all on fire. The world is not ending. We will be okay. Until next time, this was Troy Talk Podcast. Have a good one.